I am free. My chains are gone. Jesus took the hit for me. I stand before God free. I stand before God innocent. And in that, His love has covered me. His blood has washed me. And my past is buried in the deepest part of the sea. My past is removed as far as the east is from the west. My past is put behind. Isaiah says that God puts it behind him. You know what that means? God puts it past him. I suggest that we do the same. Recognize what it is to know that our past is past. And when you have victory over past, it can take no hold upon you. And that's freedom, folks. That's when you understand I am set free. My past will not take a hold on me. Because Jesus on a cross took care of my past. Jesus is past it. And I'm asking that we get past it. Because I think even in today's message, we come to a place that we can get so hindered on our past. There's different things that we compromise on because of our past. And because we've never been able to get over or get past our past. And people walk into a place where they say they have a testimony and all they do is speak defeat. No testimony at all. Testimony is victory.
Amen.
Testimony is I passed that, man. That was who I was. This is who I am now. By the blood of Jesus, man, that has been covered. And I have victory over that. And I'm not going to walk in defeat of that. Man, we've got to be very careful what comes out of our mouth. We've got to be very careful of our emotions. We've got to be very careful of who we are to recognize that the cross took care of it, man. The past is the past. And man, I'm going to preach this morning. And the message this morning is still do life together, but I'm going to talk to the singles. I'm going to talk to those who are single. And if you're married in this place and this is your first time in BC and you come in and you heard maybe something about the marriage series, man, livingouttruth.com. You can catch every message online, livingouttruth.com. But man, please clue into this, man. Everything in this, the scriptures that I'm going to bring out are not just solely for single people, but it is going to be applied today to the single life. So please pick this thing up, those of us who are married, and dig into this thing. I hope that we were refreshed in our time of worship. Remember, give, receive, respond. I hope, God, that was pleased with our offering of us giving Him worship and praise. And now it's our time, man. It's our time to receive, to hear from God. Do you realize that this word is alive and powerful? It is God on page to you and I that when we hear this, we come to a place and know that, God, you have the ability to speak to me today by your word. And then in that, I'm going to walk in a response to that. If I believe what your word says, I will respond to it. Because belief renders a response. Man, that's this morning, man. Come on, give, receive, and respond. Pumped that you're here. Please turn to two places this morning. Proverbs 3, 2 Corinthians 6. Proverbs 3, 2 Corinthians 6. We're going to start in Proverbs and then go over to 2 Corinthians 6. Our password is Psalm 9017. If you have your tech stuff, God bless you. I've got my Bible, man. Bring your Bibles to church, folks. Praise the Lord. Come on, it is the truth. It's what is our guide. Let's ask God to bless it. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our time in worship, God. I do hope and pray that as we were giving you thanks and praise, God, that it was truly an offering that you accepted in our time before you. And God, even in that, God, that we were refreshed. Because in your presence, God, there is joy, that we would enter into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. God, we would come to your presence with thanksgiving. That's how we come close to you, God. That we draw near to you, Father, with our praise. We give it to you this morning, Father, in this time now, Father, that we would receive from you. God, that you would speak into our lives today. God, every time we come in this place, every time we open your word, Monday to Monday, God, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, any time we open your word, God, it is life and it is power and it can change our worlds, God. Father, I believe that it is powerful enough that one verse, one message, rearrange a heart. Father, I please that we deliver this not in word only, but in power by your Holy Spirit with full conviction, with absolute assurance that this is true. Change our lives. Come before you, God, with an eye to see, and with an ear to hear from you today. God, that our hearts are open to respond. Folks, I ask that you would ask God this morning, God, speak to me today. God, speak to me this morning. I need this today, God, and I will respond to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, man, the singles, whether you are a teenager, don't miss this. Whether you are a college student, you can't miss this. Whether you I've gone through the heartbreak of being a widow or a widower. Don't miss this if you've gone through just the pain and the hurt of being divorced. All of those fall under this, being single. I'm asking that you not miss this morning. Because I believe that in times that we are single, we can make the most desperate decisions. That can cause the most hurt. And you who are in high school, and you who are in college, and you who are young adults just starting your careers and walking in a place, if you are single, listen, you are in a place right now that you are making more decisions in your life than you will ever make again. I have my wife. I have my job. I have my house. I have my kids. And I have all that God. I mean, it's just a mess. I don't have to make a whole lot of decisions. When you're at an age, when you're in high school, when you're an age specifically, when you're in college, you are making at probably a season in your life that you're making the most decisions in your life. And some of them are the most impacting decisions of your life. First decision is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the most important, eternal, forever decision that you will make. The second most important decision you make is who you will marry. And 92.2% of you will be married. I don't know who the 0.2 is. I feel bad for him or her. But 92.2 of you who are single will be married. And the second most important decision that you make will be who you marry. And you're in a place right now where you are looking for, you're studying, you're looking for a career, you're looking for a husband or a wife, and you're in planning mode, and you're in serious search mode, and you're like making all these decisions about where we're going to live and what we're going to do and what we're going to buy and what, and there's decision after decision after decision. And I'm telling you today, being that age right here, you need to know what season you're in. When you don't know your season, because recognize this, man, this season of being single will come and it will go. I'm at a point, just me, not my wife, because my wife is 29 years old and we've been married 21 years. Try to figure that out. But I'm at a point where I am almost to a place of almost being married longer than I have been single. But not Renee. She's 29. We've been married. We're only married to each other. But anyways, my 8-year-old, he doesn't even know what the word single means, okay? My year-old's not looking for his spouse. He's not looking. He doesn't even know what. He doesn't even dig chicks yet. I mean, he's just like, whatever. You know? So that's even at that age, he doesn't even know what being single is. So when you look at a point, when you begin to recognize, wow, there is somebody out there for me, there will be a point. And those who have been married for a long time, you can't even remember being single. So you're in a season. You got to know your season. You're in a season that is a very limited one-time season. And you're in a season that is short. And if you've come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, and you said, God, I surrender all. God, I confess that Christ is Lord. I surrender to you. I breathe for Jesus. I belong to you. And you come to a place to do that, then you have to understand the season that you are in being single. Do not miss this. You've got more time to devote to the things of God than I do. Come on, 1 Corinthians 7 tells us this. I want you to see this. Now, this is Paul. He's writing to the Corinthian church. And this is Paul, who I believe had to be married at one point because he was of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. A requirement for that was to be married. So I believe that Paul's writing this as one who was a widower. Somewhere along the line, I believe he lost his wife. And he says this, but the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And the interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin, and I can speak to the man in this. The man or the woman who is unmarried and the virgin. Now, please hear this. Why does he give two different classes of people? The virgin is one who's never been married. The single who's never been married. The unmarried is the one who has gone through the hurt of being a widow or a widower and losing the one that you've loved and now having to do life alone at times. And it has to do with the one who has gone through the hurt and the pain of a divorce. But look what God says through Paul. The woman, and I can put a man here, who is unmarried and the virgin, is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Look at, I am married to the most amazing woman on the planet, and I have three kids, and every single one of us in this room who's ever walked the planet has only had 24 hours in a day. Everybody has the exact same amount of time. Nobody gets more, nobody gets less. Everybody has 24 hours in a day to use as we choose to use as God, and I hope that we use it in a sense. Say, God, these 24 hours are yours, belongs to you. Wouldn't it be amazing, man? I'm in a mode right now that when I wake up and I get before God and I'm in my time before him in devotion, God, I surrender myself to you. God, I surrender my emotions to you today. God, today I surrender my time to you today. God, today I surrender my finances to you today. God, today I surrender my emotions to you today. That it's day after day. God, my finances, my emotions, my time, God, everything about me belongs to you today. And I'm telling you what, that has rearranged some things in me to recognize that every day, I never get this day back. And when you understand what it is to value time and you understand what it is to be in the season that you are in, being single, you need to understand that you have more time that you can devote to God in your service to him than one who is married. Because my 24 hours, but my mind time is definitely taken up with Christ. He is first priority. But it's also taken up by my wife. It's also taken up by my children. That's mind time. That's time I love to spend. You being single, what are you pursuing? Serious question. What is it that you are pursuing? Are you so concerned about you? Are you so concerned about where you're going to be and where you're going to go? Are you so concerned in this time that you're making so many different decisions? Are you so concerned about that one that you may marry one day? Are you so concerned about dating this one and dumping this one and dating this one and dumping this one? And you just sign this absolute search pattern for the right one, but yet you're not healthy enough to go to the next one. Instead, you can look at and know the very season that you're in. And please hear this, man. This is a message that I am going to speak this in a different way, as if I was sitting across from you, looking at you face to face at a coffee table, and I'm just pouring my heart out to you as one who is single. That's the way I'm going to speak this. Because I go desperately, man. I'm so desperate that you get this. Because you being a young person, when you understand the season that you're in, when you understand, I've got more time, God, to devote to you. I've got more time, God, to get to know you. I've got more time, God, to serve you. And God, in that, I want to reach the people around me. And there are times and there are seasons as a young person in high school or in college that you will be the one who has to go against the grain. You will be the one who swims upstream when everyone else just goes downstream and takes the easy road out. Everyone else just, well, everyone's doing this and everyone's doing that. And why are you so different from me? Man, when you are single, you've got to be bold and you've got to be courageous and you've got to understand, whom shall I fear? I will not walk in fear. I will not be so concerned to blend in. I will not be so concerned to be like everybody else. But God, I will not fear, but I will follow. No one else follows, God, I'm going to follow you. And in this time, God, I can know you and I can go deep in you. And in this time that I have, God, my mind should be on you. I don't have a husband or wife yet. I don't have children to be concerned about. God, all of this time I've got to devote to you. What's your purpose? What are you pursuing? And in every decision that you're making, you come to a place. We'll pick it up in Proverbs 3 to say this. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. Look at this. Trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everything in me, from the deepest part of who I am, God, I'm going to trust you. And this word trust means to rely on, to depend on. God, I'm not going to rely on another. God, I'm going to trust in you with all my heart. God, everything in me, in my relationship with you, God, my surrender to you, God, knowing and understanding the season and the times that I'm in, knowing, God, that in this, me being single, I have more time to devote to you. I've got more time to serve you. And the question is, what are we doing with our time when we come to a place to say, God, I will trust you with all my heart. I will not lean on my own understanding and in all my ways. Young person, hear this, in all my ways, those who are in high school, in all my ways, those who are in college, in all my ways, those who've gone through being a widow or a widower, those who have gone through the heartbreak of divorce, in all my ways, I will acknowledge you. You realize you can reach so many more people with such a greater impact than I can. Young people, you can reach your high school and you can reach your college friends and you can reach your college and you can reach the people that are around you and you can reach those who have gone through the hurt and pain of being a widow or a widower or a divorce. You can reach them in such a way of impacting them with grace and with love and recognizing I can do so much more than those who haven't walked in those shoes. Because it's a matter of you recognizing the season that you're in. And coming to a point to say, God, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my understanding. I'm going to, in all my ways, God, I'm going to acknowledge you. And his promise is this. And then he will, God will direct your steps, or God will make your paths straight. Gang, that's intense. God, I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to rely on you. God, I'm going to trust in you. Everything in me is going to put you first. Everything in me. God, when everyone else is going this way, God, I'm going to trust in you. God, when my emotions and my feelings want to go this way, God, I'm going to still trust in you. And I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways. And in that, God, you said that you will. God, you will. God, you said that you will make my paths straight. God, you said you will direct my steps. Isn't it amazing when we do it God's way? God does begin to open doors. And God does begin to direct your steps. And when you understand and recognize this next verse, this is intense. Verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Look at your Bibles, man. Highlight trust. Verse 5, highlight trust. Verse 7, highlight turn. God, I will trust in you. And God, I will turn from evil. God, I will walk in such a way to respect you and honor you, walk in such a way to reverence you and walk in such a way that I will understand what it is to fear you. That God, in all my ways, you come first. In all of my pursuits, in all of my desires, in all of my time, God, I put you first. Because in doing that, God, I can trust that you are going to direct my steps. God, I can trust that you are going to make my paths straight. God, I can trust that you are going to do what you said you're going to do. See, Psalm 90, verse 12 says this. When you understand this, when you understand time is short, and when you understand you don't get yesterday back, and you don't get next week back, and you don't get next year back, and you don't, when you understand that, when you recognize that even in Psalm 90, it says, so teach us, this is a prayer, calling out to God, God, teach me to number my days. God, teach me to recognize the day passes, the day gone. God, help me to recognize a year passes, a year gone. I can't go back. I can't do it over. When you understand that time is so valuable and you recognize God, when you're crying out, teach me, God, show me, God, to number my days. Show me that today is vital. Today is so critical in me being single. God, today is so vital in the steps that I need to make. God, what are my pursuits today? God, what am I chasing after today? God, what are my desires today? God, teach me to number my days. Because so many times being in college, your only pursuit at times is twofold, career, spouse. We work so hard to get that career. We work so hard to find that spouse. And that's our fault. And we lose track of time to understand, God, what have I done for you? What have I used this season that I'm in for? How have I advanced your kingdom? How have I lived for you? How has my pursuit been after you? How have my desires been in line for you in this season that I'm in? This is so big. You cannot miss this. Teach me to number my days. Help me to know that every day is vital. Every day is so important. A day gone is a day gone. Ephesians 5 says this. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. You are single. Are you making the most of your time knowing that the days are evil? Can you be here today and say, I am making the very most of my time knowing that the days are evil, knowing that there are two, man. There is God and there is Satan. There is the kingdom of heaven. There is the kingdom of hell. There are sheep and there are goats, man. Satan is the greatest liar and deceiver of all times. I had an amazing conversation with someone last night after service and he just was hard to understand. It's that simple. that when we say, God, I need to make the most of my time because I know that the days are evil. God, I know that there is the enemy, and I know that there is the kingdom of darkness, and I know that there is that which is light and life in the kingdom of God. And I know that there are those who will have an ear to hear and come to you and understand that, God, you are the Savior of the world. And there is an enemy who is trying to rip everybody down to the pits of hell with him. And in that, God, I need to make the most of my time because I know that the days are evil. And what are you doing being single? You can reach so many more of your generation than I can. But you've got to come to a place to turn from evil. You've got to come to a place to not compromise. You've got to come to a place to look and say, I will be different. I will stand different. I will act different. I will talk different. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have gone. New things have come. This is who I will be. If I have to do it alone, that's who I'm going to be. When you understand this and you're confident and bold enough to come to a place that I will not fear. I am a warrior. I am one called by God. I will advance His kingdom at all costs. That is my purpose. And you will understand what it is to fear the Lord and walk in such a reverence of Him and know what it is to turn from evil and know what it is to not compromise being single, but recognize in the season that you're in, you never get it back. I don't want you to be in a place to regret the very season you're in. I don't want you to be in a place, I don't want us to ever regret, but there are times when we say, I could have done it differently. And you know, when we come to those times, when we look back and say, I could have done it differently. Most people who are walking in a life now look back to when they were single, look back when they were in high school, look back when they were in college, when they were making the most important decisions of their life besides Christ, and say, I wish I could have done it differently. You're in a place right now in your season of life, that you're in a place that you can do it differently. Now, because you make a decision. That today you say, I do it different. Today you say, I'm not going to get to that point to say, I wish I had it to do again. Or I wish I could have reached more people. Gang, I have an evangelist heart and it kills me to know. I don't think I won anyone in high school. I don't think I want anyone in college. When people hear that I'm a preacher, they're like, crazed. What? That kills me because I have a heart to know I could have done it different. And I do not want you to be in a place, because you're in a place right now in the age that you're in, to say, today I do it different. Today, I can reach people. Today, I can live a life. Today, I can serve God. Today, I can surrender to Him. Today, things change where I don't get to the point, say, I wish I could do it again. You're at a point to make everything different now, being single. It's huge. And please, man, I am doing everything I can to try to talk to you in a way that when you get to a point of being married, you get to a point to do life together with your spouse that you look back and say, man, I don't regret a thing, and I'm amazed that God used me in such a powerful way to do this, 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 and this, because I came to a place to recognize that my purposes and my pursuits were wrong. I need to be purposeful, on purpose, pursuing and desiring after Him, and knowing that in that, then God's going to make my path straight. And in that, then God is going to walk me through a place to direct my steps. You know what verse 7 means? Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know what that means? God, my ways are not your ways. Your ways are higher. God, you know all things. How many times have we come to a place in Scripture as a believer, as one who's tried to live and breathe this, when we come to a place to say, well, God, in the position that I'm in right now, in the decisions that I'm making right now, in the pursuits that I have right now, you know, God, I don't see it your way anymore. Do not be wise in your own. You know what that means? God, I think I know more than you do. God, I think I can do it my way and be okay. Susan did it this way, and she says that she's a believer, and she seems to be fine. Jonathan did it this way, and he says he's a believer, and he seems to be fine. God, I think I can do this my way. Young people, how hard is it, even in high school or in college, that you come to a place to stiff arm God? And man, this morning, 5 o'clock this morning, I'm outside and I'm looking at the stars, and they were amazing. That was before the clouds came. It was intense sky. It was brilliant and bright. And I'm just thinking, God, that just drives me. He said, God, you are amazing. I stand in awe of your creation. God, you are intense. God, you are, I couldn't imagine saying, I know more than you. But how many times we let our emotions dictate what we say is wisdom? Many times, unfortunately, please hear this. Many times we let loneliness take a hold on us that drives us to make a bad decision in relationship-wise. How many times do we compromise for the sake of a relationship? What is it that we have said, God, I know more than you in this? Because loneliness can be painful. My heart breaks for those who are widows, those who are widowers. My heart breaks for those who've gone through the hurt of divorce and wanting to really do it right with God. They walk in a sense where they haven't been for a long time alone. And in that, man, please, please do not make an unwise decision based on our emotions. Come on, turn to 2 Corinthians, please. And I can't talk about being single without really touching this, because this is so many times I see people be wise in their own eyes in this area, and they say, no, I know more than God. No, I can handle this. No, I'm going to win her for Jesus. No, I'm going to win him for Jesus. No, I got this. I'm strong enough. I can do this. But he's so kind and he's so nice. He's actually got a plan. I think the men of the church at a young age better wake up and get a plan and be a man. Because women want a man. They want somebody who understands what it is to provide. They want somebody who understands what it is to work hard. The godly woman wants a man who understands what it is to lead her home spiritually. That, and man, so many times we got these wimpy little dimp men. It's the truth. Unfortunately, I think it drives women, godly women, to men who understand, even in the world, who understand what it is to provide, who understand what it is to be a man. You being a godly man, you should be the greatest warrior of all. You should put up your armor and be ready for a fight. And you know, you've been in church long, you know we do not have this pencil-pushing, little wimpy-dimp deal being a Christian. We are warrior-set mind. We are ready for battle at all times, and the enemy will come, and we are ready to fight, and we are ready to protect our homes. And that is the man that you should be looking for, and that is the man that you better strive to be. The Bible says this. Do not highlight that, underline that, circle that, put a star by that. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. You cannot ignore that. You can't come to me and say, let's have a debate on this. You can't come to me and say, well, I think I can handle it. You can't come to me and say, well, it worked for them. God said, don't. Don't be wise in your own. God, I know more than you than this. God, I know I can handle this. God says, don't. Do not. Not up for debate. Listen, please hear this. I've seen so many, and you know many. If you're in this place, you know many who once were pursuing after God, got in a relationship, and they have nothing to do with God anymore. Because they ignored one portion of Scripture. God says, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness with lawlessness? You're going to see three differences here. Again, there is one side and there is another. There's the A team, there's the B team. There is no other team, and that is it. There's only two teams on a football field. That's it. Someone says, well, I want a team with three. Well, you can't do that. It's impossible. There's two teams. You know what? In the kingdoms, there's heaven and there's hell. There's two different kingdoms. There's light and there's darkness. There's the master God and there's the master Satan. There's two different masters. And there's two different purposes. And when you understand this, when you recognize what God says about this, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? And harmony is peaceful. Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has a temple of God with idols? Man, how crazy it is to say, well, listen, I'm going to date somebody who doesn't breathe for Jesus, and I'm going to be okay with that because, you know, I'm just dating her. Do you have any idea that the one that you marry will be the one that you date? How foolish is it to say, I'm going to start down this road knowing that it's not going to work? What a waste of time. Are you coming back to a place to be taught to number your days? Are you taking every day? Are you taking every relationship at a place where you're coming to a point to say, I don't have time to waste on one who doesn't breathe for Jesus? Because when you come to a place to realize we have different purpose, we have different masters, and we have a different kingdom. That's what this says. How awful would it be, you being one who says, I breathe for Jesus and love Jesus, to start to date somebody who does not, and then get all emotional, get all tied in your emotions, then you marry somebody who does not, and that person says, there's no way we're giving to the church. I don't even go to church. There's no way. We're not spending a penny in that organization. You'd be heartbroken. We're not raising our kids in church. I hate church. You knew that when you married me. You knew I didn't pursue. You shouldn't have married me. Our kids are not going to church. Folks, you have different purpose. When you really get the biblical picture of what it is to be different, to be a child of God, you recognize all things become new. And you recognize, I will not partner myself. I will not be in a place of joining in fellowship. I will not be in a place to come to a place of me being joined to that which I'm complete opposite. And we have complete different purposes. We have complete different masters. We have complete different kingdoms. How can you convince me that that's okay? When the creator of the universe says, don't do it. See, in this gang, I think that huge piece to this is this. That you need to walk in a place of being healthy. I encourage people all the time. I sit down with people all the time. They've been in a relationship, they break up. They get in another relationship, break up. Get another relationship, break up. Get another, and it's just this ridiculous cycle. It's because after the first breakup, they didn't get themselves healthy. They didn't allow themselves to heal from a relationship breakup, but they go right into the next relationship. Why? Because the purpose is only career and marriage, and they just keep going in this direction when they're not healthy enough to be a part of another relationship. I'm even talking two believers, okay? I'm not talking about the split. I'm talking about two believers who maybe were pursuing God in this, and then, you know, we break up, and then immediately we have to be attached to someone else, and we're not ready for that. Emotionally or spiritually, we're not ready. I think at times, as I said in the beginning, I think at times our past is something that hinders where we're going. Whether it's past sin, whether it's seriously a bad relationship that we once had. Maybe it's just a very difficult home life we once had that we came from. The enemy loves it because he loves you to be so, so hurt and broken over your past that you'll never be healthy. And you bring that right into the relationship. Please hear me. I so encourage you. that when you understand that you are healthy spiritually and your pursuit and your time used and your time spent is for the desire of God, and it is to pursue and it is to advance His kingdom, and you know the times and seasons that you are in, and you recognize the time that you have and the importance of it to devote to Him. And then secondly, you recognize that you need to be healthy. You need to be healthy in who you are spiritually and emotionally before you can tie yourself to another. Come on, let's pray. See, this is the part that we respond. The Bible says it is effective to those who believe it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it is effective. It will perform its work. And those who believe, and that word believe, respond. I don't know where you're at today. And if you are one who is a widow or a widower, you've lost your husband and your wife, that you would come to a place to trust God. If you're at a young age and you're in that position, that you would trust God. If it is your desire one day to find another wife or another husband because of a death, please don't let loneliness dictate that. Please hear this. Please make a decision of one who breathes for Jesus. If you walk through the pain of divorce, please find yourself healthy. Please go into a place that you will be strong spiritually, that your pursuit will be God. And in that, you will find yourself healthy again. Folks, why is it that when we go into a divorce, we get married again and we go right back into another divorce and we get married again, we go right back into another? That happens over and over and over because we never got ourselves healthy. Man, I'm begging you, please, today, if you're in a place that you were broken and you're hurt from a divorce, maybe it wasn't even your idea, maybe it's something you never wanted. Please make sure that you are strong and you are healthy before you go into another relationship. That takes time. Time alone, please hear this, time alone is not a healer. I know many people who are of their older age who are bitter and angry, and time didn't do anything for them except make it grow. But when you are surrendered to Christ and you allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in you and dependent upon Him and you're trusting in Him, then time by God through the Holy Spirit will bring healing to your emotions and to your spirit. In that there will be healing. And in that there will be a day that you are healthy and you know that you're healthy. And in then God will direct your steps, possibly to remarry again in such a powerful way that is driven by God. If you're in high school, or if you're in college, or if you're at a young adult age, you have a chance to make a decision today saying, in me being single, I will not waste a day. I will not let this season that God has given me to be wasted. And you make decisions that I will not get involved in any type of dating relationship with anyone who doesn't breathe for Jesus. I won't do it. I won't do it. Because I will come to a place of trust in Him with all my heart, not leaning on my own understanding. I will acknowledge Him in everything that I do. And in that, He said, He will direct my steps. And in that, He said, He will make my paths straight when I do it His way. Every moment of me being single, I will serve Him and I will surrender to Him. And I will win my generation and I will win those in high school. I will do what I need to do to go against the grain. I will do what I need to do to not allow my emotions to get a hold of me. I will do what I need to do to put my eyes back focused on Him and His pursuit. Man, if you're in this place and you are in a relationship with someone who doesn't know Jesus, please. Man, if I was sitting down with you, I would beg you, please, please let that go. Please don't think that you're secure in that. Please don't let that think, well, this is my security. I don't know if there's another one out there. This one is for me. But he doesn't breathe for Jesus, or she doesn't breathe for Jesus. Please, please don't do that. God says don't do that. That will be a decision that you are making that will be a serious, serious downfall. It will be a disastrous decision if you are making it based on your emotions, based on you trying to be wise in your own eyes. Please stand strong. Please get courage. Please fear not. Please come to a place to say, this is done. This relationship is over. God, I will pursue you. God, I will pursue you. Please. Walk in a mindset. God, you will direct my steps. God, you will direct my steps. I will not compromise anymore. I will not compromise for a relationship. I will be in a place one day where I will do life together with my spouse. But as for now, right now, I will not compromise. I will not compromise my purity for a relationship. I will not compromise my pursuit of Christ and the direction that God has for me. I will not compromise that for a relationship. That's what you can do today. Make a decision that's zero compromise. And if everybody goes in one direction, I will not compromise. I will acknowledge Him in everything I do. And He will. He will direct my steps. He will straighten my path. He will direct my steps. Do you trust that? That's a big question this morning. Do you trust that? Do you trust if you acknowledge Him in all your ways? Do you trust that He will direct your steps? Do you believe that if you make some decisions today to say, man, this relationship is over, you make some decisions today, I will not compromise. Because I believe that when I acknowledge Him, He will direct my steps. And today, my past is my past. By the love of God and understanding the work of the cross, I will get past my past. Because Jesus Christ has already passed my sin. Come on, let's stand to our feet, please.